In the beginning of the Industrial Revolution, the manufacturers controlled the market for apparel. Manufacturers and fashion houses held the power to set prices, and mom-and-pop retailers had to live with it. Today, the situation couldn't be more different. The big retailers like Walmart and Target have the power, and they dictate the price to manufacturers, small shops around the world, making clothing more abundant and affordable than it has ever been. The cost has been borne, though, by people like the victims of the Savar factory collapse in 2013 in Bangladesh.
Well, state media in Bangladesh say an eight-story building has collapsed.
Hundreds are dead. Hundreds more might still be buried alive after officials in Bangladesh say factory owners ignored an order to evacuate.
Garment workers in Bangladesh paying the price for cheap clothing.
The new film, The True Cost, tries to show what the world pays to have cheap clothing. The actual cost can be seen in factories, across landfills, and in the lives of the people who live and die making affordable fashions and all of our smart shopper deals. The film is in theaters and available on demand starting today. The director of the film, Andrew Morgan, says in our fashion world today, the runways are for jumbo jets carrying boxes of clothes from Asia, and there are more seasons than four.
You know, what's distinct about the fast fashion model is it's basically replenishing the design and the product that you see in the store every single day. Two seasons a year became four seasons a year, became 16 seasons a year, and we now consume 400% more clothing than we did just two decades ago. We now consume about 80 billion pieces of new clothing. And that form of production is kind of increasing the problems in the model that have always been there, where you're seeing thousands and thousands of factories in a single supply chain, very disconnected from the point of purchase or the company that's marketing the clothes, and just a huge, huge breakdown in some of the responsibility that's leading to some continued really problematic things.
And there's a countercyclical phenomenon between the lowering of the price for consumers and the increase of costs for the actual manufacturers. They're not having any fun here, and you discovered that in China.
That's exactly right, and it is interesting to look at. Clothing has been a deflationary product, and that's a rarity in our world. So you're seeing the price, as you say, go down and down and down, while raw materials are not going down, transportation is not going down, which brings us to possibly the most dangerous point in the supply chain, and that's human labor. That's the one point in the supply chain consistently where the margins are squeezed, and with limited responsibility, with lack of good oversight, with lack of strong rules or outside regulation, that has been what has led this industry to see the continuing, just harrowing effects of this kind of manufacturing.
Tell me about this character in Dongguan, China, who's running a company, I mean, presumably at the top of his field, but not having a lot of success looking forward.
Yeah, well, he's concerned about what he sees. You know, he actually was a very responsible manager, businessman. I think he cares deeply about the people that work for him. And that was one of the things that was eye-opening, I have to say. You know, you go in to a story like this, and I think I was concerned primarily at the beginning with the injustice at the labor level, at the garment factory worker. And then to get to know a lot of these factory owners, and to your point, they're not having a lot of fun. They're being incredibly squeezed.
If you actually go to a store and you benchmark the price of a garment over the last 20 years, you will find that it's actually a deflationary product, i.e. the price has gone down over time. Now, has our cost gone down? Absolutely not. Okay, our cost has gone up.
And he doesn't have anywhere else to squeeze that margin, so he is in a, you know, like a lot of people in his position, a moral quandary to say, how do I continue to make my business work? At some level, human labor is not a commodity. It's actually lives. And my experience with him was that he felt that very, very deeply. I spent time with another factory owner in Dhaka, Bangladesh, who actually closed his factory, just said enough is enough. Like, I can't in good conscience, while it's important to employ these people, I cannot squeeze any more what they're being paid, because he's looking at workers who can't afford to live in the city's worst slums.
When the stores are coming to us for an order and negotiating, they're telling, look, that particular store is selling this shirt with like $5, so I needed to sell it in the $4. So you better squeeze your price, so we are squeezing. Then other store is coming and saying, hey, they're selling it the $4, so the target price is $3. If you can meet the $3, you are getting business, otherwise you are not getting. In the West, they are using everyday low price. So every day They're hampering me, and I'm hampering my workers. This is how it is.
So take us someplace that is particularly memorable. I mean, I think of Bangladesh because I cannot get those images out of my mind of that factory collapse. But where would you take me?
Well, beyond just Bangladesh, there's certainly a powerful story continue to unfold there. But I think, one of the other things that we don't talk about quite as much is beyond the human labor sides that we can, I'm sure, discuss more. You know, when you hear a number like 400% more clothes in two decades, that is coming at an incredible price to the natural world. The amount of resources that go into these clothes is absolutely staggering. So when you begin to market and treat clothing as a disposable good, that's a really distinct change in the historical way we've treated clothing. And on the natural resources level, that's alarming. And on the waste level, that's really alarming. That was something I had no idea of going in.
Does brand shaming work to change conditions in the field, in your experience in this film?
You know, I think at times it has played a role. We saw coming out of the factory collapse at Rana Plaza, the most memorable recent disaster in Bangladesh, we saw some failure for brands that were manufacturing there to pay into a compensation fund. And there was some activism work to really protest and say, like, you know, you have to pay up to compensate these workers. But for brands, I think there's got to be a huge, huge wake-up call to a rediscovery of responsibility. And same thing for government. I think there has to be an actual impetus to lead. So I think we could short sight and create a really shallow solution if we went too narrow in our attack. And that's why in the film we tried to not make it a story about one company, but really say, this is a mess. This is a mess we've allowed ourselves to create, and it's something that we have to see be done much better moving forward.
Does the Pacific Trade Agreement that's in Congress address those gaps, or does it enshrine those gaps?
In my opinion, it goes further to enshrine those gaps. I think trade agreements are a profound tool that we could use to start to protect the environment, natural resources, as well as human labor. The market, business, trade, globalization, these things are a force. And they can be a real force for good, and they have done real good. But it's just like if we were playing soccer, there have to be some basic rules. And those rules don't have to kill competition. They don't have to end the game. But what we've seen up until now, and what the trade agreement you're mentioning further enshrines, is that the rules are getting written by the people that are on the field. And I think that's what we're saying is really profoundly problematic.
Andrew Morgan is the director of the film The True Cost, in theaters and on demand starting today.